or promote bilingualism in Canada? Look no further. Apply for the Odyssey or Explore program for the chance to improve your French or help young people improve their English. You'll immerse yourself in another region's language and culture, make new friends, and have experiences that will stay with you forever. Many people say the Odyssey and Explore programs have changed their lives. To find out more or to apply, visit EnglishFrench.ca. Programs funded by the Government of Canada.
Hi, Hani Pisutirunga, Ulume, January 5, 2021. Amma Nipibumutunga Savitsi. April me Niliala of Simajunit, Aluba Puskas, Okalemakatara of Simama, Louis Desutime, Isumalerade, Niaholerade, Ikajoktimana, Nova Nowning on it, Nova Tuaral 19, Taco Towning on it. I'm a little bit of a little bit of so nala twin narrative. I'm Annie Pisute. Today, January 5, 2021. Welcome to Nipibut. Today, we will replay an interview from April when Agluba Puskas spoke to Louis Desoutine, psychologist and psychotherapist, about mental well-being during COVID-19. We will also play some music, Inutitut, so keep on listening.
Ilangan ni hongan ni hongan ni tuin naong ila. Ilangan ni sa pumitsut til sa ngubakak sa kong natukotunan. Ilangit ka natamit o nataktisayt o walo ni pulisit isamakot ilusakso siya nginigmot at tutamakon nasun. Akso kong natumiligovit ilatin nulunit ikayoktawit sa hakpo. Uhaliyak logit haritawyak good veterans.gc.ca/mentalhealth. Uhalaw tikulunit 1-866-522-2122. Kanatawab ka ba mga tatusaktisiltinga.
Tusasim miyavo joy naoyok pihatik.
Yeah. Kusong na atong luni taktikit di si Mabu nunak kating ni nagligusong ng midlo ikpigusong ng midlo. Wearing a mask is a way to show your community love and care.
Ingi si Miyuk, Becky Han, Amalo Tracy May, 6 Mokba.
Kuya Ibunga
six more.
Hi, this is Agluvak, and I'm here with Louise Desertine. She's a freelance psychologist and psychotherapist who has worked with First Nations and Inuit communities. And Louise is here to talk with us about self-care during these times of COVID-19. Hi, Louise. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm fine. Thank you, Stefan. Thank you for inviting me today.
Maybe we can start a little bit about just what you do as a psychologist, psychotherapist, maybe a bit of your work with Indigenous communities.
Thank you. Yes, it's been a long path for me. It's been about 40 years of working mainly with First Nations, Inuit communities. I started in 82 with Ganawage services and worked for about 25 years with the Mohawk population predominantly, but also within the urban setting with people from all over, providing therapy, providing assessments when that was needed, providing groups, and then gradually developing and providing trainings. And now I'm just basically dabbling here and there and doing what calls to me, not only for different agencies here in Montreal.
Well, about a year and a half ago, you were facilitating some workshops around wellness with the Inuit community.
Yes.
Yeah. And as well, I guess in the past year or so, you've been the resident psychologist, psychotherapist for the Inuit Health Research as well, right?
Yes. And supporting them in the work that they do. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
So we wanted you on the show to talk a little bit about how do we take care of ourselves right now? Because, of course, we all know that we're in the middle of a pandemic. A lot of people are losing their jobs. We have to stay home. We're being told to self-isolate, practice social distancing. There's a number of people who have started talking about this is kind of creating some problems when it comes to coping emotionally. It's like we're in a war with an invisible enemy. So maybe we can just kind of talk about how do we kind of cope with this during this time where of self-isolation?
Yes. There's a lot of talk, Stefan, about physical well-being, distancing, you know, our physical health. It's a physical danger, this pandemic, this virus. And for me, it's really important that we also stress our emotional well-being, also our spiritual well-being. And so I go back to that quadrant of the emotional, the physical, the thought and mental and the spiritual. For me, it's really important. And I thought I would start maybe, if it's okay with you, to explain a little bit about what is actually going on inside us. Each one of us is different. We all come from a different place. We have different experiences that create us. And I see that always as something behind us that will also help us or hinder us in coping in times of stress. But we also have some things that are fundamentally human that belong to all of us. And this was explained to me about a month ago, and I sort of explained it myself. I changed the terms a little bit to looking at what we're experiencing with COVID, which is a danger, an outside danger to all of us. And it was equated to me like it's like if we went back in time, thousands and thousands and thousands of years, we would be in some natural environment chased by a predator. So what happens when we are being preyed upon and we're in danger? What happens inside us? We can do two things usually. we fight or we run. When the danger level goes really high, we freeze. Something happens that blocks us from doing. And we know that, and in all different shapes and forms. You know, we can punch somebody who's running after us. We can run away. We can swear at them. We can take things into our own hands. We can call the police. We often have an option. And so what this pandemic has created is it's not a dinosaur. It's an invisible enemy that's being constantly talked about. So it's constantly bringing us up to that alert. Even in the safety of our own room, our own home, we're constantly on edge with this threat. But we can't do anything, one, because we're being told to stay confined, and two, because for some of us, the saturation point gets so high that we're kind of in this panic state all the time, this frozen state. Some of us are defending ourselves. We get angry, we get sad, our emotions are all over. Some of us are literally going out and running or constantly being physically agitated, like we're running in one place. And some of us are shutting down. And it's really important to know that all these responses are perfectly normal and natural, given the human beings that we are. So given that, it's important to know that our responses may be very different, but the thing that's triggering it is this, what I call the dinosaur, which is very much like the virus, except for the virus, we don't see it, but the constant threat is there. And so these are really important things to think of. You know, you're freezing because you've just had way too much of this. It's been a whole month. You're still in running mode. So you're arguing, fighting, you're agitated, you're trying to move, you're running or you're fighting, which is another part of that, which is defending yourself in a way that you can. So these are the three responses that we keep seeing in ourselves. I see them in myself. Some mornings I wake up and I'm just like thud. I'm in this empty space and I have no energy, no imagining of what my day's going to look like. Some mornings I get up and I'm really not in a good mood, to be very kind. I'm obnoxious. I'm irritable. Sometimes I just got to do something. I swept the floor 5 minutes ago. I'm going to do it again. So I look at myself as an example, but we're all going through variations of this over and over again. And that's important to remember, that this is a very old, very human response that's happening, whether we like it or not, inside our bodies and inside our brain.
I'm sure this response was helpful for us in the past, this fight or flight or freeze response, as you said. But maybe right now it could be going haywire when we're supposed to be staying inside. And even though, as you said, though, it feels like we're not doing anything. We are doing something by self-isolating, right? We are doing something by trying to prevent the virus from spreading.
Yes.
But how do you deal with this fight, flight, or freeze response that's kind of going haywire right now?
And that's the key. And it's not something that we're used to doing. And so when we're in that agitated state, my heart's pounding, my stomach's in a knot, my blood pressure may go up, I might start to sweat, or I might start to feel cold. And the most important thing to remember in this is that we have to come back to those basic heartbeat rate has to slow down. Our breathing has to slow down. We have to be able to look around and see where we are. And even in these agitated states, we get tunnel vision, you know, when we say, I see red and I'm not going to let go of this issue until I get it solved. And I keep sending those texts and I keep banging on the wall. So our whole body gets involved in this physiologically. So it's really the one thing that doesn't come to mind easily but that is the most important, is to be still. And there's one great psychologist who talks about a deer or an elk or a four-legged animal that gets closely hit or gets hit by a car but isn't severely wounded. And he actually witnessed this once. He said he saw near miss of a deer on the road, and the deer wasn't on the ground, froze for a minute, did this kind of shaking of its body, and then ran. Well, that moment that that deer froze, which you talk about, is a time for something automatic to kick in so that that animal could actually access some kind of survival mechanism. So in a sense, that's what we need to do. We need to have a pause, create a pause for ourselves, and go, wait a minute, Louise, I'm ready to be really disrespectful or hurtful towards my partner, or I'm really ready to send an email that's full of piss and vinegar to a colleague that's just, or a friend that's just irritated me. Wait a minute, pause. And this is a really important thing, because I have to bring my heart rate down and I have to start breathing normally. And then what'll happen, like the deer, is more oxygen goes to the brain and you're actually able to resolve in that second. And I think, oh, maybe I don't want to send that nasty text or that email. Maybe I'll wait. Maybe I don't want to hurl some kind of hurtful insult at my partner. Maybe I'll wait. But it's to build in these little, in French we say un tampon, these little spaces, these little barriers between what we're feeling inside and how we react on the outside. This takes practice. This takes lots of practice. Some people are really good at it. I've noticed in the community down at the shelter, people were upset and someone will throw a joke in. And the joke stops them in their tracks. They laugh and it kind of flips the baby. It helps us change course. And humor does that. Being conscious of our body does that. Wait a minute, Louise, I'll say to myself. And then I stop myself for a moment.
From what you're talking about, it sounds like it can be applied a lot as well to anxiety, right?
Absolutely. Because this is a form of anxiety. Anxiety, interestingly enough, is described as a natural panic survival response to a perceived threat. Now, if I have a dinosaur running after me, that is not a perceived threat. That's a real threat. I'm going to run or else I'm going to be lunch, basically. But with anxiety, often the dinosaur is inside our minds and doesn't mean that it's not as real. If I was chased by five dinosaurs in my life and got away, and there's a certain place where they always come out every time I pass that place, I'm going to have anxiety. There is no dinosaur there on the seventh, eighth, ninth time, but I'm still going to have anxiety. And that's a simple way of explaining our anxiety responses, is that we perceive a danger, and so we have a similar reaction. Some people have anxiety even before they get to a potentially dangerous place. They will think about going to that place and start having anxiety. So our anxiety is something that we have learned in our own life and throughout the life of man. And that probably makes us very different from animals, is that we can imagine anxious producing things and have that anxiety response. But in a pandemic, it's all a big soup. It's all mixed together because there is a real danger of contamination and illness, and we're aware of it. We're being bombarded and constantly reminded of it on media. And then there's all our thinking about it and worrying about it and imagining. You know, I imagine that my partner is bringing it in because he got groceries. I'm imagining that the lady that knocked on the door and went away left something on my door with her hand. So I'm already anxious about that. And there is no COVID-19 in my environment. So anxiety is a complex thing, but we're living a triple whammy right now. We have the threat of the actual COVID-19. We have the anxiety that confinement produces because we're limited. People who've lived in detention of one form or other know what that anxiety is like, irregardless of the threat outside. And then we have our own anxiety that comes from within us. You have yours, I have mine. I come from a long line of anxious people. I have to deal with those three levels of stress at the simultaneously. And that's a challenge.
So what you're saying, though, is basically to take a pause for yourself, put yourself in the moment. I have heard of some awareness type of exercises where you take a moment to start thinking about, like, well, how am I feeling right now? Not just what are my thoughts, but what am I feeling in my body? For example, what am I smelling? Or what am I seeing around my environment, basically? And that could help you calm down, because when you're really anxious, that's when you can start making decisions that might be bad. You might not be in completely in the right mindset to be making some of these decisions. Like, for example, maybe having an argument or a fight with your partner or someone you're living with, be it a family, friend, roommate. But if you're able to take that pause and like, wait a minute, I'm going to stop myself, try to think about how am I feeling right now, that can help you to reduce that anxiety. And then you're able to come back to that issue with basically a fresh mind.
Yeah. Exactly. And it's exactly what happens is when we bring down all those physical reactions of panic or of fear and we breathe, we can actually then have access to what we call our thinking brain. And to do that, we have to come into our bodies and we can do very simple things. You don't have to even get fancy with breathing exercises. You can first just ask yourself, how am I breathing? How fast is my heart beating? You can rub with one hand, and there's several places that are helpful to rub. There's these two little spots up above your neck and under your head. We all have them. There's two of them, and there's a little crease in the middle, which is the end of your spinal cord. And if you rub those two little humps, sometimes I do it with my knuckles. Sometimes I do it with my hands. That brings me pretty quickly back into my physical body. The other is to rub your feet flatly on the floor and feel your feet on the ground and sort of slide them back and forth. These are very, very basic things we can do that we don't need anything to help. Then there's some that are a little bit more sophisticated. Sit down and then push into the back of the chair and just feel the chair behind you and under you. Feel the different muscles that are coming in contact with the chair, because we're in that really distressed mode. We don't lean back. We sort of hold ourselves stiffly, our hands rubbing it on a surface and just noting the surface. It could be plastic, it could be wood, it could be cement. Bringing ourselves back into our body. It could be looking around, looking left, looking right, looking forward and saying, I'm going to look for something red or orange. And it stops us and makes us pay attention to our environment. Smell is very important because smell goes straight to our emotional brain. What do I smell right now? Somebody's coffee? No. I smell the wind outside that's sort of dusty. Do I smell something pleasant or something unpleasant? Simple as that. Some kind of smoke that they really like that reminds them of clean sheets or something really simple. So these are really small, easy things to do. So these are things even traditionally that were done and that were really helpful.
I like a lot of stuff that you mentioned. I just thought as well, too, you mentioned breathing exercises. Is there maybe a simple breathing exercise that someone can do to help them calm down or basically take a pause, a moment for themselves when they're feeling anxious?
Yes. I always ask people first to check in, see what their breathing's like, and not want to make it too different, because that might make them panic if they have to hold their breath or anything special like that. So I just advise people to note your breathing in through your nose, breathe out really slowly, as if you were blowing on an imaginary feather and trying to keep that feather up and floating as long as possible. And try to get all the air out so that that feather keeps floating. If you do that 10 times, your breathing will slow down. And this is something you can practice. And I often tell people, don't wait for a major conflict or a major stress situation. Practice it as you're cooking the soup, as you're folding your laundry, as you're walking to the grocery store. Just practice it. Practice it before you go to bed.
Practice it at any time of the day.
Basically. Exactly. You would train for the Olympics before you ran in the Olympics. Mm. So okay, when you're in crisis, you're in the Olympics. It's kind of too late, you know, and you want to practice and train before you get there.
Sila tiavalak tu, ima hanui lapa ukso alak tu, amalu sulak kita, nanti sulak tu, mama tu,
mama tu,
nanti minit uyu, mama tu,
mama tu,
nanti minit uyu, mama tu,
mama tu,
nanti minit uyu, mama tu,
mama tu.
Mama tu,
mama tu,
let me know you, mama tu,
mama tu,
let me know you, mama tu,
mama tu,
let me know you, mama tu,
mama tu,
mama tu. Uno saku sulina siulau tu, kalau tu, palau ga hangit tu, ti hangit tu. Vienna sausage hungry too, beef jerky hungry too, kalau too suli. Unuku nagayami, suli natsiolak too, kanulu. Natiasilak too, natiakulu, we love too. Cookie lak tara, villa too, nirilak too, dalianae.
Dusasim miyavut Northern Hayes ingitiluit angayuksakuluk.
Angayuksakurugai isumagiyakurugai angayuksakurugai ikkama vaginai. We'll be right back. sumagi akurai anga yuk sakurai ikka mawaginai anga yuk sakurai anigue yukurumai anga yuk sakurai nakligi waginai
Wearing a mask shows your community that you love and care.
Alexis Utanak ingisim yanga mahaybe lautawot.
Makay bigi balautawon umayu ka umnin man nani kya kile pan ikal ya bibinipon ikalukam nirman nanili kya kile pan ni fixati ni kayo naksibong ipuitu Tagbatu liftun Kaim nangitun Makai bigi balauk tabun Umayu kaum nirman Nanili kya kilipan Ikaliak bibinirpun Ikaluka kong nirman Nanili kya kilipan Nikik sa ting ni kayong naksibong Tagbatu litun Kain nangitun
we've talked a lot about anxiety. I think that's on one side. On the other side, though, I think a lot of people at the same time are experiencing boredom and depression. Maybe we can talk a little bit about that as well.
Yes. And so it's almost the opposite of coping with anxiety. For anxiety, we have to bring things down a little bit. We have to bring the heartbeat down. I always see depression as something like hibernation. It's like winter. We don't have as much stimulation. We don't have as much energy. Part of it is normal. And I say to people, try to accept part of that. Don't judge yourself for being depressed. Don't shame yourself for being lazy or useless. So look at it as very, very much part of how you're coping with this. But as we know, when our energy is too low, it takes time to be activated. The best system, I think, for people who are quite depressed is to have a buddy. Reach out to one person specifically. Not necessarily ask for advice, but have them remind you of maybe one goal you set out today. If you're not doing anything, don't set yourself 10 goals. Set yourself one goal. I'm going to shower and get dressed today. And then let your buddy know. And some of the people I've been working with have buddies who are in the same boat. They're both trying to get showered and dressed. And you give yourself little simple challenges. Of course, there's the ugly word of routine, but routine helps people who are down in their energy and depressed. And you can't have too much going on because you'll just turn off. But setting one objective, and then if you can reach that, trying to set another one, and slowly throughout the day, having these little things that you're going to do. So routine and getting into a system where you're doing things at specific times.
Where anxiety, you're trying to slow things down, but when you're depressed or bored, you're trying to build things up.
Seeing the results, because again, we've got all this information and we've got this virus out there, but we don't see anything. And so it's really important when we are doing something that we actually see the results. If I sweep the floor, I'll see that it looks a lot better and I see the results. There's a lot of things that we can actually start doing, and then it grows into something else and it's simple and we can actually see it. Yeah. So don't decide to write the book or, repaint your apartment or, change your life or lose 20 pounds. It should be trying to maintain a balanced status quo. That goes for how we're living. Don't try to make any major changes. Unless, of course, what's happening right now is, and I always caution, if you're living something that is really not safe or is dangerous, then we have to look at finding some solutions and for ourselves and reaching out to. But when things are just normal and they're not spectacular, just stay with that and allow yourself to stay with that. That's important.
It can also be very easy to be kind of confused about what we're supposed to be doing in this situation, because we've talked about anxiety and we've talked about depression, and those kind of feel like opposites in a way, where maybe one person feeling anxiety is having a lot of energy and the other person who's depressed is feeling a lack of energy. So the recommendations for dealing with anxiety would be contradictory to someone who's depressed.
Yes, absolutely. So. And people might tell you, oh, you should be doing this. You should be doing that. No, you should be cleaning more. Well, if someone's already really, really anxious about germs, you don't want to give them a whole lot of directives about minute cleaning. It'll be way too much for them as the only objective. So you're really hitting the nail on the head when you say that it really depends on the situation. And to make it more complicated, is that some days we're anxious and the next day we'll be sad. And so the same person is going to have to alter what worked yesterday for me may not work so well today.
Hola, Rebecca. Peace.
Du sagst mir, wo bitte ruck um die bei Brenda Anderson.
Inu tungilanga ma.
Nakome nipe bumet na lagun nagatagatse. Tana si bulen ni Jajo to sa katakta si Angela amakale o ingile amininga. Amalo ubagot ubanipina sutyo jugut ubanga anipisutte Jennifer May, Nancy Angela, Tina Pisutte, Cara Bauer. Nakome Roma Mayunga Concordia University, Southern Quebec Inuit Association, Amalo CKUT 90.3 FM. Nak pinasawa si ulat kami to sa larabo si Urban Indigenous Radio amalo ubagot utilang majugo January 19 ulitak. Tusak sa ulang alam majuit so perspective. Thank you for listening to Nipibut. Our theme song is by Angela Amahuale. This episode was made by me, Annie Pisuti, Jennifer May, Nancy Angeler, Tina Pisuti, and Carl Ball. Thanks to Concordia University, Southern Quebec Inuit Association, and CKUT 90.3 FM. Tune in this time next week to Urban Indigenous Radio, and we will be back January 19th. Stay tuned for Soul Perspective coming up next.